booster for your morning. All the news you need to know. It's the WABC Early News on 77 WABC. Now, here's Juliet Huddy and Frank Morano.
Well, good morning. It is Friday. The weekend is almost here. We'll tell you what you can expect when it comes to weather coming up in just a bit. Mother Nature may have quite a bit to say.
Oh, yes.
I'm Frank Morano.
I'm Juliet Huddy. Yeah. Oh, boy. If you're planning on traveling over Thanksgiving, watch out. But before we get to that, let's get to the top stories making news today.
This is the Top 5 at 5.
Okay, the jury in the trial of Kyle Rittenhouse is heading into day 3 of deliberations. They couldn't come to any resolution yesterday. And speaking of yesterday, the 18-year-old's defense team once again asked for a mistrial over controversial drone footage that was not shared by the prosecution until after both parties had rested. And that has created some contention there. So we'll keep you updated today as they go into number 3. Of deliberations.
The late Eric Garner's son yesterday condemned a self-styled Black Lives Matter leader for threatening riots, fire, and bloodshed if Mayor-elect Eric Adams revives the NYPD's undercover anti-gun unit, calling it an insult to my family and the movement at large. In a prepared statement, Eric Garner Jr. also called on Hawk Newsom to take back the controversial remarks he made after meeting with Adams last week. Hawk Newsom threatened to, well, let me take you back in time to what Hawk Newsom actually said.
They think that they're going to go back to the old ways of policing, that we're going to take to the streets again. There will be riots, there will be fire, and there will be bloodshed. So there's no way that we're going to let some Gestapo come in here and harm our people.
Garner put out a statement saying, on behalf of the entire movement, I must ask you to retract your statement and redirect that righteous anger to help all of us form a more constructive way of accomplishing our goals, because at the end of the day, we all we got.
All right. It was fun while it lasted. Despite promises by New York's new governor to the contrary, the MTA may have to raise fares next year. Officials say the current financial plan there at the MTA would require four price hikes every 2 years starting next summer.
President Biden got an early birthday present, and it's one he probably isn't keen on opening. A new poll out yesterday, just 3 days before the president turns 79, finds just 40% of Americans think Biden's in good health. What's more, they're also split pretty much right down the middle when it comes to whether he's mentally fit, with 46% agreeing and 48% saying he isn't.
And America reached a macabre milestone in the last year, roughly 100,000 overdose deaths. That has never been seen before. Overdose deaths have been rising for the last 20 years, but the officials say that they have accelerated in the last 2 years, skyrocketing, listen to this, nearly 30%, 30% this past year alone. Experts point to two things, a more dangerous drug supply and COVID mental health issues. President Biden calling it a tragic turning point in our nation's history. His administration is pushing Congress to spend more to reverse the trend. And those are your top five at five.
And here's a look at what's trending in the rest of the news.
What's trending?
Jumaane Williams on Tuesday, we told you a little bit about this yesterday, officially launched his campaign for governor less than a month after he was elected to a full term as the city's public advocate. Williams announced his run in a YouTube video and a new campaign website. In the 2-minute video, Williams discusses his skills as an organizer, plus overcoming adversity, including his Tourette's syndrome, to become one of the city's top elected official.
My Tourette's has never defined me, but it has represented the truth about my life and my work. I'm always moving. When you're a kid in school, moving makes you a troublemaker, a problem. When you're a young black man under the abuses of stop and frisk, moving makes you a target, a suspect.
Williams was reelected public advocate a couple of weeks ago, overwhelmingly. He's been in that role since 2019. Before that, he was a city council member from Brooklyn.
And Governor Kathy Hochul is hiring a new director of Italian-American Affairs after facing quite a firestorm over axing the previous liaison. I mean, it's the state's largest ethnic community. And the problem is some feel that she was remiss because she did not consult community leaders. Hochul is expected to announce this new position shortly after talking with Italian-American civic leaders. They slammed Hochul for blindsiding them after the firing of Dolores Alfieri, who was appointed back in 2017 by Governor Andrew Cuomo.
The city's top cop Tuesday pinned part of the blame for the Big Apple's crime spike on the failure to keep suspects in custody on Rikers Island. NYPD Commissioner Dermot Shea acknowledged in an interview with New York One that the city has seen a little bit of a rise in crime recently, and some of the crimes that we haven't talked about in a while, such as robbery, stolen cars, things of that nature, he pegged the laws as playing a role in the uptake, and while he didn't elaborate, Shea has in the past repeatedly slammed sweeping state bail reform measures for keeping criminals out of jail and wreaking havoc on public safety.
Well, the New York Times on Wednesday revealing an explosive revelation about the murder of Malcolm X. This is a big one. Two men convicted in that assassination are set to be cleared today, more than 50 years after the killing. Muhammad Aziz and the late Khalil Islam spent decades in prison, actually 20 years, for this crime. But now, after a two-year probe, they are about to be exonerated. New York DA Cyrus Vance tweeting that he has been working with the Innocence Project and a law firm. They're going to be moving today to vacate those positions, so there will be an announcement sometime today. Malcolm X was shot to death during a speech in Harlem's Audubon Ballroom back in February of 1965. From the Ramsey Mazda Weather Center, we're looking at a high of 64 degrees today with partly cloudy skies. Light winds, not too bad. We will see some sun pop out there here and there. But tonight we are in it pretty bad when it comes to rain. We'll have a steady rain this evening, 90% chance, and we'll look at probably about a quarter of an inch, it seems like. By Friday, though, things look better, although they will get chillier. We're going to get up only to 47 degrees, but we'll have mostly sunny skies. Saturday, we'll stay at 47 degrees, but the clouds will start to roll in. And on Sunday, we'll get up a little bit into the 50s a little bit, but about 55 degrees. But we will probably see some showers in the evening, unfortunately. And those showers will continue into Monday's commute. Currently, the temperature in Manhattan is 53 degrees, Frank.
A prominent Palestinian human rights activist recently filed a complaint in New York State, charging that a Ben and Jerry's boycott in the West Bank and occupied territories is contributing to, quote, more hatred in the strife-prone region. Bassem Eid filed a complaint with the New York State Division of Human Rights last month against Conopco, the U.S. division of Unilever that owns the popular ice cream brand. Eid is a longtime activist who's been critical of abuses by both Israeli armed forces and the Palestinian Authority in the past. And this has been an ongoing issue. An award-winning human rights activist who was born in East Jerusalem and grew up in a UN-run refugee camp, Eid said the boycott will have an adverse effect on the people it's trying to help.
Well, back here, we talked about the weather just a moment ago, and I have to tell you, if you have Thanksgiving Day plans, you better be prepared because Mother Nature may throw an icy wrench into those plans, the travel plans. Forecasters are keeping an eye on some concerning weather patterns that could mean heavy snow and rain across the Northeast and Midwest. Now, it may looks like it's probably earlier in the week, so if you're traveling a bit later, you might be okay, but, you know, things can change. We'll probably have some updates for you over the weekend. In fact, we certainly will. More than 53 million people here in the U.S. are expected to hit the roads, rails, and skies over the long weekend. It's crazy.
Yeah, it is.
A lot of people are going to be on the roads, guys.
Absolutely. Maybe some people may reconsider their plans because of that. MTA officials on Tuesday defended the need to go ahead with congestion pricing. So it's not just fare increases that you may soon see. It's congestion pricing, despite being awash in cash from the federal government. Commuters raise questions about the need to enact congestion pricing, charging a hefty fee for anyone driving into Manhattan south of 60th Street. After all, the MTA just scored a big lifeline, getting over $10 billion from the new federal infrastructure bill that was signed into law by President Biden on Monday. And that's on top of the $14.5 billion the agency got in pandemic aid. So one of the questions that was put to the MTA acting chairman was, why do New Yorkers still have to pay? We need to be a model of climate change, not just for the world, but for ourselves. We need air quality to be good so kids don't get asthma. This is for us as much as it is for the money. That's the word from acting MTA Chairman Jano Lieber.
Well, there was a real disaster down in Manhattan, lower Manhattan, yesterday. A construction worker who was painting on the Manhattan Bridge fell to his death. Police say he was painting something there just before 2 p.m. around 1:50 when he plummeted to the ground at South Street and Pike Slip. That's near FDR Drive. Another worker was critically injured. Apparently, both men were wearing harnesses, but it sounds as though they might have been unclipped. They were going from one location to another on the structure. Police said that wind may have been a factor in the freak accident. It certainly seems that that must have been the case because the two men were working together and fell at the same time.
The judge at Kyle Rittenhouse's murder trial yesterday vowed that he would think long and hard about allowing any future televised trials as he blasted media criticism of his decisions on a range of issues. Kenosha County Judge Bruce Schroeder responded at length to the media coverage of the proceedings after calling prosecutors and defense attorneys into court to discuss a question from the jury. I'll tell you this, and I'm going to think long and hard about live television trials again next time. That's what he told the court. I've always been a firm believer in it because I think that people should be able to see what's going on. But when you see what's being done, it's really quite frightening. He was referencing an article from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel that included comments from legal experts criticizing him for not ruling yet on a motion filed by the defense to declare a mistrial.
Well, speaking of trials, the infamous QAnon shaman is heading to the big house, and we're not talking about the Capitol. Jacob Chansley was sentenced to 41 months in federal prison for his role in the Capitol riots. He did express remorse in court Wednesday. He said that he is willing to take responsibility for his actions, and he, in a way, compared himself to Gandhi. The decision comes 1 week after an MMA fighter was sentenced to the same amount of time, 41 months, for punching a Capitol police officer. So with credit for time served, Chansley will end up serving likely about 31 months.
And we are also keeping an eye on the story involving the vaccine mandate. This is something that's been very controversial. And in a temporary blow to the Biden vaccine mandate, OSHA has suspended its order requiring vaccines for companies with 100 or more employees. The announcement comes after a federal court upheld a stay on a ruling blocking the measure. Administration officials now say they'll head to the Sixth Circuit Court of Appeals to try and re-implement the mandate, which is set to go into effect on January 4th.
It is just about 5:15. Let's head over to Matt Sapienza at the sports desk for a look at what is going on in that world.
Hey. Thanks, Juliet, and good morning, everybody. Here's what's going on in the wide world of sports. All NBA action today, beginning in Brooklyn, where James Harden scored 27 points, LaMarcus Aldridge had 24, and Kevin Durant 23 to help the Nets beat the shorthanded Cleveland Cavaliers 109-199. Patty Mills added 21 points to give the Nets four 20-point scorers for the first time this season. Brooklyn improved to 11-5 with its eighth victory in 10 games. Over at MSG, things weren't looking good for the Knickerbockers. Cole Anthony had 15 points and 10 rebounds. Mo Bamba added 12 points and 11 boards. And the Orlando Magic rallied late in the fourth quarter to defeat the Knicks 104-98. Terrence Ross scored 19 points off the bench, and rookie Jalen Suggs added 13 for the Magic, who snapped a three-game losing streak. R.J. Barrett scored 17 points, and Mitchell Robinson had 13 points and 11 rebounds for New York, which has lost 4 of 6. And that's your sports at 15:45. I'm Matt Sapienza. That's WABC Sport.
A Walton County, Florida man's loyalty to former President Trump will cost him. A code compliance magistrate yesterday ruled against Seagrove Beach's Marvin Peavy, who was fined for flying a three-story high banner that read, "Trump won." Officials told News 13 in Florida, "It's the sign's height that's the problem, not the political message." PV was ordered to pay over $1,200 plus $50 a day for each day the banner stays up.
There is some interesting news out of the White House. Apparently, they have abandoned plans for the president to hold a press conference today with the leaders of Mexico and Canada who are visiting. Apparently, according to reports, there is concern about a series of misstatements that the president has made. Now, he turned 79 on Saturday, and as we know, he's known for going off script. He made some remarks on Taiwan on Tuesday, also on the Olympics, and his selection of a Federal Reserve chairman that were, one might say, imprecise. And apparently that caused a, quote, mop-up operation by his people. Jen Psaki yesterday actually said last week that there would be a press conference when Prime Minister Justin Trudeau and Mexico's President Andres Manuel Lopez visit D.C. But again, that plan is now scrapped. We are concerned about the weather. That is probably the big headline of the day. A lot of folks have made plans to travel next week, starting tomorrow, as Joe just mentioned. And we may have some big problems, not so much over the weekend, but as we head into the next week. Today, we're looking at partly cloudy skies. We may see some sun pop out in certain places, a high of 64 degrees. By later on today, this evening, the rain will begin. We're looking at a 90% chance of rain with some light to medium winds, 10 to 15 miles an hour. We should get about a quarter of an inch of rain. Friday, we're looking at 47 degrees, so that rain's going to go away. We'll have mostly sunny skies, so it looks like a nice day tomorrow, albeit a bit chilly. Saturday, we stay at 47, but the clouds start to roll in. And Sunday, we're looking at showers in the evening with a high of 55. Monday, showers in the morning with a high of 53. You know, I'm not going to talk about what's going to be happening midweek next week because obviously it's just too far away. But there is concern that some storms that are coming from the Midwest are going to be making their way over here by that time. So we'll cross our fingers and hope that nothing happens. But things change. Weather is very imprecise. It's difficult to forecast that far out.
All right,
sorry about that. I was just going to say the temperature right now is 53 in Manhattan.
Let me tell you what's happening on Wall Street. It was a down day on Wall Street yesterday. The major averages fell despite big names like Target and Lowe's beating estimates in their latest earnings report. Target stock fell while Lowe's finished slightly higher. At the closing bell, the Dow Jones Industrial fell 211 points. The S&P 500 lost 12 and the NASDAQ dropped 52. Visa dragged the Dow into the red after it was announced that Amazon would stop accepting Visa credit cards starting early next year. Gains in Apple stock helped temper some of the Dow's losses. Vaccine makers had big days with Moderna and Pfizer both gaining ground. Another winner on the day was Tesla. Republicans are slamming the social spending bill, which could get a vote in the House this week. During a Capitol event, House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy said Democrats keep doubling down on massive spending. The California Republican added, "Nothing in this bill will help us, but will only harm us." New York Republican Elise Stefanik called the roughly $2 trillion bill, quote, "a socialist spending scam that will bankrupt the U.S. House Minority Whip Steve Scalise said it's time to stop the madness of runaway spending. Scalise is from Louisiana. And finally, Bill Gates' nuclear reactor design startup is aiming to build its first demonstration reactor in a Wyoming coal town. TerraPower announced yesterday it plans to build the plant in Kemmerer, Wyoming by 2028. The project will employ 2,000 construction workers at its peak and provide clean energy jobs in a region dominated by the coal and natural gas industry. A local power plant, a coal mine, and a natural gas processing plant currently provide more than 400 jobs in the town of around 3,000, 2 hours north east of Salt Lake City. Juliet?
Thank you. And we also have a couple more business, economy, retail type stories to give to you, hoping to offset the struggle that some families are facing. Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin on Wednesday issued an order increasing payments to help military families cope with the surging prices that we've been dealing with. In some places, off-base housing has increased 10%, and Austin says that is affecting the readiness of U.S. forces. And also, Apple surprised customers yesterday, Frank, by announcing that they're launching their own self-repair program. Apparently, this has been a huge thing. I'm not a techie, so I've never heard of this, but apparently, so customers can order parts and tools online and fix their phones and Macs themselves. It's part of a movement, the right to repair movement, which is new to me, but it's been pushing for owners to be able to decide for themselves where to take their broken phones. The program is set to start with the iPhone 12 and 13, and Macs will follow a bit later.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Right to life, right to choose, right to die,
right, exactly.
Right to bear arms, right to repair.
Right
I
to
like
repair.
It. Hundreds of the country's Catholic bishops, I gathered in Baltimore yesterday to vote on pressing issues facing the American Catholic Church. The top issue? A vote on a 30-page teaching about the Eucharist, Catholicism's central ritual of taking bread and wine to be the body and blood of Jesus Christ. The vote and the document's wording were closely watched for signs that the bishops may include a rebuke of President Joe Biden, the country's first Catholic president to support access to abortion and open the door to priests to deny President Biden's right to communion and the right of other public officials who hold policy positions that run counter to church teachings.
So it sounds as though they're giving local priests the right. I guess it's, you know, where the cardinals here are a bit more conservative, and so they're giving local priests the right to decide whether or not they can deny communion.
Yeah, it. I would be very surprised if a lot of priests actually went so far as to ban people like the president and the governor from taking communion. But we'll see.
We will see. Also down in D.C., Mayor Muriel Bowser said earlier this week that an indoor mask mandate in the nation's capital would be eased on November 22nd. Obviously, that's kind of a shift away from these requirements as the vaccination rates continue to rise. And we see some infections fueled by that Delta variant in the city. But 88% of D.C.'s adult residents have had at least one vaccine dose. And apparently masks will still be required in certain circumstances. So public transportation, for instance, inside school buildings and congregate living facilities like nursing homes, college dormitories, and jails.
Hmm, interesting.
Yeah.
A Washington state official is in hot water after failing to fess up on her financials. Congresswoman Kim Schreier failed to disclose up to $1 million of Apple stock for 2 months. She claims her husband made the transaction in July without her knowledge, but she didn't report it until November. Federal law requires politicians to disclose security trades within 45 days. The 53-year-old serves on the Energy and Commerce Committee, which falls within Apple's realm of influence. A spokesperson for the congresswoman says she's never missed a transaction before, and she'll make sure she never does again.
And a really big story. For the first time in our country's history, women could be drafted. Axios reporting a measure that changes the requirements for selective services from male only to all Americans could be voted on in the Senate as early as next week. There is some criticism. Mitch McConnell is supportive of it. Tammy Duckworth is supportive of it. But others are coming out and saying this is just kind of this equality sort of scapegoating type of thing.
I mean, the reality is it's been several decades since anyone was actually drafted. So one wonders
never
what the actual
never.
Effect will be. A Republican congressman accused Attorney General Merrick Garland of lying to Congress last month based on an FBI whistleblower's reveal of emails showing the Bureau used counterterrorism methods to track alleged parent threats against school board members. Republican members of the House Judiciary Committee released the whistleblower provided email Tuesday to which top FBI officials directed agents to use an edufficials tag to track the behavior. The tag and tracking appears to fly in the face of testimony Garland gave where he insisted that parents were not being targeted as potential domestic terrorists by the FBI.
Well, after a contentious day of debate, to say the least, the House voted 223-207 to censure Arizona Republican Paul Gosar over an anime video that he posted last week. You've probably heard about it at this point. It depicts him killing AOC and Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez here, of course, from our area, and also attacking President Biden. Here is AOC.
It conveys and betrays a certain contempt for the meaning and importance of our work here. That what we do, so long as we claim that it is a joke, doesn't matter. And I am here to rise to say that it does. Our work here matters. Our example matters.
And she went on to say, basically, when you have one of the members of Congress effectively she says, inciting violence. That should be condemned, and she was shocked that people actually didn't want to condemn it. Gosar lost his seats on government reform as well, and natural resources, those committees. He's just the 24th House member in U.S. history to be censured.
Wow.
House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy from California accused Democrats of operating a double standard, though, and he is essentially suggesting that there will be some Democrats who are going to see the same fate. The big headline yesterday was that our Thanksgiving plans could be waylaid by some nasty weather. So here's what's happening right now. We are 1 week away from Thanksgiving, exactly. Today we're looking at partly cloudy skies with a high of 64. We would probably see some sun at times. We'll have some rain this evening. We're going to have some clear skies tomorrow, sunshine and a high of 47. A high of 47 on Saturday, although we will see some increasing clouds through the afternoon. On Sunday, that's when the rain is really going to kick in. We're going to have occasional showers in the afternoon. Sunday night, that steady rain will continue throughout the night, and we should get about a quarter of an inch, they say. As we head into the travel week, where really people are going to start taking off, we'll have showers in the morning on Monday, then partly cloudy skies in the afternoon. Tuesday, it just looks like we're looking at gusty winds, 20 to 30 miles an hour. For the rest of the week, at least right now, I'm seeing mid-40s with partly cloudy skies. I don't see any rain. I don't see any snow. So hopefully it's going to stay that way. Right now, it's 53 in the city.
5:30, we will tell you what's happening in the governor's race. We'll also tell you what you can expect in the Rittenhouse trial. Whole lot more, plus business, sports, and traffic coming up in mere moments.
ABC Early News on 77 WABC. Now, here's Juliet Huddy and Frank Morano.
Thank you very much. Frank is going to join me in just 1 second, but we have some news to get to today. It's probably going to be pretty contentious again today on Capitol Hill. Yesterday was the Paul Gosar censure vote. Today, President Biden's nominee for controller of the currency is set to get grilled at a hearing there on Capitol Hill. Sol Omarova was born in Kazakhstan in the former Soviet Union. She is being called by her opponents a radical. And now there is word that the 55-year-old was once arrested for shoplifting back in the mid-90s. The White House is defending Omarova, calling her, quote, eminently qualified. So I have a feeling this is going to get pretty ugly today.
Well, some of the other big stories we're keeping an eye on include the Rittenhouse trial. The jury in the trial of Kyle Rittenhouse is heading into day three of deliberations. Yesterday, the 18-year-old defendant's team asked once again for a mistrial over controversial drone footage that wasn't shared by the prosecution until after both parties had rested. The judge is holding open the possibility of declaring a mistrial even after the verdict comes in.
The son of the late Eric Garner condemning Black Lives Matter leader Hawk Newsom for those comments that he made last week.
Think that they're going to go back to the old ways of policing, that we're going to take to the streets again. There will be riots, there will be fire, and there will be bloodshed.
Those comments he made after meeting with Mayor-elect Eric Adams. In a prepared statement, Eric Garner Jr. called on Newsom to take back those remarks. Instead, Garner is pushing for a more constructive way of accomplishing the goals in the Black community.
And we went a day without a fare hike, but only a day. Despite promises by New York's new governor to the contrary, the MTA may have to raise fares next year after all. Officials say the MTA's current financial plan would require 4% fare increases every 2 years starting next summer.
And President Biden's got an early birthday present. It's one he probably is not so excited to open. A new poll out Wednesday, just 3 days before he turned 79, finds that just 40% of America thinks Biden is in good health. And what's more, they're also pretty much split right down the middle when it comes to whether he is mentally fit. 46% say he is, 48% say he is not.
All right. Well, those are your top five at 5:30. The Michigan and Kansas are moving forward with broader boosters. Kansas, the latest state to open up booster shot availability to all adults. Governor Laura Kelly announcing that expansion yesterday. The state joins a handful of others and New York City in casting out that wider booster net. The move comes 2 days before a U.S. advisory panel decides whether to expand it nationwide.
And speaking of, you talked about Kansas, Michigan is the latest state to face hospital room shortages. The rates there are not good. In the last month, the number of hospitalized patients increased 50%. 9 centers are at 100%. Officials say roughly 3 out of 4 infections and deaths are among unvaccinated people or people who have only had their first shot. And so this is why the Biden administration is really pushing for these vaccines. In the meantime, the administration is fulfilling its promise to help share vaccines with the rest of the world. Under a new initiative, the government will make billions available to drug makers to boost vaccines around the world with the goal of producing an additional 1 billion shots per year to help ease a global shortage of doses, mainly in the poorer nations and even some of the nations that are not considered fourth world or even third world.
And the second highest ranking general in the U.S. military has sounded the alarm about China's weapons development, warning that Beijing may soon have the capability to launch a surprise nuclear strike against America. The general was discussing China's test of a hypersonic weapon from this summer, which was first reported by the Financial Times last month. General Hyten's interview came after a Monday night virtual meeting between President Biden and Chinese President Xi Jinping. It was not clear whether the two discussed the hypersonic test, though Biden expressed concern about it when the initial report emerged last month. Hyten's interview came after this meeting. Biden had expressed concern about a great number of issues, including human rights abuses in China.
And hoping to tamp down soaring prices at the nation's pumps, we've got a lot of economic stories for you today. President Biden on Wednesday announced that he is going after gas companies. He has asked the FTC, Federal Trade Commission, to look into possible, quote, illegal conduct within energy firms, saying prices are high even though oil and gas companies' costs are going down. And so he's a little curious about that. The average price of a gallon right now is roughly $3.50. Last week, as you probably heard, California hit a whopping $4.84 a gallon. Yikes. Mm-hmm. We just got an updated forecast. Today we're looking at 66 degrees, sunshine and clouds mixed. Tonight we'll have periods of rain and a low of 43. Tomorrow, lots of sun, 48 degrees. Saturday, we look like it's going to be chilly, 48 degrees, but we have a mix of clouds and sun. Sunday, we have occasional showers coming in, and those will continue through Sunday night and into Monday morning. The temperatures will actually get up a little bit higher, though, when the rain comes in. We're looking at the mid-50s or thereabouts. Looks pretty windy on Tuesday, so if you have flights, people coming in, or if you're leaving, those flights might be affected by that. We'll keep you updated on what's happening weather-wise, because there have been warnings that there is going to be some nasty weather next week. Hopefully, it's not going to get anywhere near us. 53 degrees right now in New York City.
On Wall Street yesterday, it was a down day. All three major indexes down. NASDAQ down 52. The Dow down 211. And the S&P 500 down by 12 points. A witness testified that a blood test on a Theranos device returned a false positive for HIV, sending her into a panic. Aaron Tompkins testified yesterday as a prosecution witness in the criminal trial of Theranos founder Elizabeth Holmes. Holmes is on trial in San Jose for a dozen counts of wire fraud and conspiracy. Federal prosecutors say she ran a decade-long scheme to dupe investors and patients about her company's blood testing capabilities. The Federal Reserve Bank of Dallas has begun searching for a new president to replace Robert Kaplan. Kaplan resigned last month after a scandal over his personal financial transactions. The Dallas Fed's non-bank directors are leading the search and have hired executive search firm Egan Zender to help recruit candidates. And finally, Cisco came up short of Wall Street estimates for the company's first fiscal quarter. The computer networking heavyweight reported earnings of 82 cents per share on revenue of $12.9 billion yesterday. Juliet.
Thank you. And in your travel update, you better give yourselves plenty of extra time to catch that flight. That is the word from travel officials who say more than 4 million people will be taking to the skies next week to see family and friends for the holiday. AAA telling folks to prepare for long lines at security. And just some personal advice for me, if you can carry on, do it, because baggage drop-off lines are also going to be really challenging this holiday travel season. Also, if you have been noticing emptier shelves when shopping for Thanksgiving, you are in the same boat as everybody else. And I'm not talking about the gravy boat. As we told you yesterday, there are going to be some lower stock items, and a lot of those items will surround the realm of the Thanksgiving meal, unfortunately. However, experts say it's not going to be like you're going to go to the store and not see any pies or not see any gravy. They are still there. They're just down. The supply is down just about 10% for most things. So you will still see things. There just might not be as many selections.
The richest dog in the world is selling his Miami estate for nearly $32 million.
This is just
it is
insane.
Wild. The German Shepherd named Gunther VI is worth close to $500 million and inherited the mansion and grounds on Biscayne Bay from his grandfather, Gunther IV, who bought it from Madonna more than 20 years ago. Gunther IV came into a trust now valued at nearly $500,000 when the late German Countess Carlotta Liebenstein died in 1992. Gunther's human handlers have invested his fortune in mansions and villas, publishing, sports teams, and nightclubs all around the world. That is one lucky dog.
Yes, no kidding. And speaking of Germany, Europe is now the new epicenter of the pandemic. The World Health Organization says that COVID deaths there rose 5% in the last week. It's the only region on the planet where deaths have been increasing. The highest numbers of cases are in Russia, Germany, and Britain, which is interesting because I'm going to London in 2 weeks. Deaths, meantime, are skyrocketing more than 67% in Norway and 38% in Slovakia. So that is not good.
On the COVID front, AstraZeneca says its new antibody drug cocktail has proven effective against COVID-19. The pharmaceutical giant said today that its new preventative COVID shot offers 83% protection over 6 months. The shot is intended for non-infected consumers who do not respond well to vaccines. The executive vice president of AstraZeneca says the new data adds to a growing body of evidence that the new antibody drug will make a significant difference in the treatment of the virus.
You got your booster shot.
Not yet. No, I'm eligible now. I had the governor's announcement that she made 2 days
right.
ago
yes,
come on
right.
Thursday. I would have gotten it Friday when they were offering it here. So I got a flu shot this week, and maybe over the weekend I'll get my booster.
I've got my booster tomorrow, and I'm hoping that it doesn't have the same reaction as my first vaccine shot where I didn't feel horrible, but I had.
Yeah, you were in bad shape.
Feeling so great. We've got lots more to get to, including the woman behind the Harry Potter phenomenon. She's being shunned by her own creation. J.K. Rowling will reportedly not be part of a special event toasting the film's 20th anniversary, the first film, of course. The folks behind HBO's Harry Potter 20th anniversary Return to Hogwarts special say the event is going to focus solely on the cast and crew, and Rowling will only appear in archival footage. This is because she has been blasted over her position on transgender people. She initially wrote a tweet, and it kind of went downhill from there for her.
All right. The NYPD is investigating after several innocent bystanders were shot in the Bronx. Police say two gunmen started firing from a black SUV on Burke Avenue Tuesday evening. Four people were shot, including a 59-year-old woman and a 15-year-old boy. A 26-year-old man also wounded. Investigators say an 18-year-old is in critical condition after being shot in the head, and he was carrying a fake gun at the time of the incident. It's not clear who the gunmen were targeting, and police say none of the victims have a criminal history.
And speaking of guns, Alec Baldwin, among those being sued for their role in the fatal shooting of a crew member on his latest film, Rust, script supervisor Mamie Mitchell was reportedly standing next to Helena Hutchins, who was the cinematographer on set when Hutchins was killed. Here is Mamie Mitchell's attorney, Gloria Allred. The two got together yesterday and did a big press conference. Listen.
Mr. Baldwin chose to play Russian roulette when he fired a gun without checking it and without having the armorer do so in his presence.
So that, again, Alec Baldwin, one of several entities, including the production folks and insurance people who are being sued by Mamie Mitchell.
5:45, let's get a look at sports with Matt Sapienza.
Good morning, Matt.
Morning, guys, and good morning, everybody. Here's what's going on in the wide world of sports. NBA action beginning in Brooklyn, where James Harden scored 27 points, LaMarcus Aldridge had 24, and Kevin Durant had 23 to help the Nets beat the shorthanded Cleveland Cavaliers 109-99. Patty Mills added 21 points to give the Nets four 20-point scorers for the first time this season. Brooklyn improved to 11-5 with its 8th victory in 10 games. Over at MSG, things weren't looking good for the Knickerbockers. Cole Anthony had 15 points and 10 rebounds. Mo Bamba added 12 points and 11 boards. And the Orlando Magic rallied late in the fourth quarter to defeat the Knicks 104-98. And I'd like to begin this next story with a drum roll. Thank you very much, me. It is the Staten Island Ferry Hawks. That's right. The Staten Island's new Atlantic League baseball club received its official title last night and a sweet new logo to boot. After countless nominations were submitted and the fan polling whittled down to the three finalists, it was the Ferry Hawks moniker which emerged victorious in a landslide triumph. The team did not disclose the final tally, but acknowledged that thousands of votes were cast among the three finalists, which included Harbor Heroes and Dragon Slayers. And that's your sports at 15 and 45. I'm Matt Sapienza. You make it a great day. I hope to see it again tomorrow.
Thank you, Matt. Yes, I was very pleased to be on hand for the announcement of that new Ferry Hawks name. And the voice announcing the name of the new team is actually mine. If you want to see the video that we put together, you can go to ferryhawks.com. That's ferryhawks.com. And you can bet you're going to be hearing a lot more about the Ferry Hawks here on WABC. Our owner, John Katsimatidis, also happens to be the majority owner of the Ferry Hawks. Other investors include the New York Yankees and the Rock's ex-wife, Danny Garcia, as well as Saturday Night Live Staten Islanders, Colin Jost and Pete Davidson. So it's an interesting time to be a Staten Islander and a baseball fan.
Entertaining and informative. It's the WABC Early News on 77 WABC. Now, here's Juliet Huddy and Frank Morano.
Thank you very much. Frank joins me in just a moment. Scary moments at the FBI's Lower Manhattan headquarters yesterday. Cops arresting a man they say walked into the building. Well, guy walks into the FBI building claiming that he had an improvised explosive device, or IED, in a van nearby, basically parked outside near the Starbucks down there on Worth Street, if you're familiar with the area. Police searched the vehicle and only found a dog in it, but no explosive, and the man was arrested.
Lawyers representing former President Donald Trump issued a letter Tuesday threatening to sue the Pulitzer Prize Board if they don't immediately rescind the 2018 awards given to both the Washington Post and the New York Times for their coverage of the now discredited Russia collusion case based on the Steele dossier. According to a letter reviewed by Just the News, Trump's lawyers are threatening legal action due to the Times and the Post stories concerning the debunked theory of Trump's ties to Russia. The letter goes into some detail how two of the main sources linked to the two publications reporting, specifically Michael Sussman and Igor Dinchenko, are now facing criminal charges for lying to federal authorities.
This is an interesting predicament. The judge overseeing the Ghislaine Maxwell case is reportedly up for promotion. New York Senator Chuck Schumer announced Tuesday that he is going to recommend President Joe Biden nominate Judge Allison Nathan to the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Second Circuit. So this is the interesting part. During that process, Nathan would be able to continue presiding over the Maxwell case. However, now experts are responding to this, and they're saying that could be problematic. They say Maxwell's lawyers could potentially ask the judge to recuse herself for fear that she would be now, because she's basically trying to get this promotion, that she would be more inclined to favor the government, Biden's government, in the trial.
Well, that's interesting.
Yeah.
But ultimately she would be the one ruling on the motion to recuse. So chances are she probably wouldn't recuse herself.
We'll see.
All right. Tributes are pouring in for rapper Young Dolph after he was killed in Tennessee. He walked into a Memphis bakery yesterday to buy cookies when someone drove up and shot him through the window. The mayor sent prayers and said this serves as another reminder of the pain that violent crimes brings with it. Fellow rappers called him a true legend and said he was loved by millions. Police say that they have no suspect or motive as of yet.
And this is a very tragic story out of the Bronx. An 86-year-old woman was found dead in her apartment last year, and now police have ruled it a murder. The city's medical examiner initially thought, that she died of natural causes, but they looked at it a bit more closely, and they found that her death was actually caused by complications from a previous gunshot wound that she suffered sometime between 40 and 50 years ago. It's something that the ME says is known as delayed homicide. So her son, who hadn't seen her many years, spoke to police and said, yes, she was shot. Not exactly sure when, not exactly sure what the situation was. The police tried to investigate it. They couldn't find any information. Hmm. So, yeah, it's just one of these kind of mysteries, I think, that will stay a mystery.
SpaceX founder Elon Musk says they hope to launch the first orbital test flight of the Starship rocket in January. He confirms the company will conduct a lot of tests next month to get ready. SpaceX is developing the massive next-generation Starship to send cargo and people on missions to the moon and Mars. The company has flown prototypes on short test flights at its facility in Texas.
From Texas, we now go over to, over and up to Virginia. Critics of wokeness are blasting college officials down south. Leaders at Old Dominion University, as you heard, placed a trans professor on leave after the professor, appeared to defend pedophiles. Dr. Alan Walker is the author of a book that tries to essentially destigmatize people who are attracted to children. They say that they prefer the term minor attracted persons, or MAPS, instead of pedophiles. Here's Dr. Alan Walker.
People, when they hear the term pedophile, they automatically assume that it means a sex offender. And that isn't true. And it leads to a lot of misconceptions about attractions toward minors.
So this is the thing. After initially defending Walker, university officials, like I said, they announced the reversal on Tuesday, saying that the institution does not condone any type of sexual abuse against kids. But critics are now saying the university did not go far enough and they want Walker fired. Period.
Well, let's get a look at Sid Rosenberg, who's got a preview of what's coming up on the Bernie and Sid show at 6 a.m. Good morning there, Sid.
Good morning, Frank and Juliet. How are you guys today?
Great.
Lovely.
Yeah, I'll be in your borough tonight.
Oh.
Teddy Atlas. Oh. Annual foundation dinner. It's a big deal at the Hilton.
You go there every year, don't you?
Every year, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Actually, I've been there before. I am not there this year. I have an event in your borough today.
I've never seen you there once, by the way.
It is a crowded dinner.
It is a very crowded dinner.
There's a few hundred people that go.
Yeah,
I've seen you there.
I'm on the dais.
Yeah, you're a big shot.
No,
so,
I'm not.
So don't act like you don't see me and I'm not there. I've been.
Well, why would you be on the dais?
Well, because no one asked me.
Oh, stop.
You have the incredible ratings that you have right now.
Well, that's true. But I've gone and paid and bought a ticket.
That's crazy. Come on. You're a big star.
Yeah.
A couple years ago, Julia, true story. So they give me and Bernie an award. They give out this Jack Newfield Award every year.
Jack Newfield.
I didn't even know who the guy was, to be honest.
He's a columnist.
Very
guy.
Coveted award, though. Very nice, you know. So they give it to me and Bernie. So that was the night of the snowstorm that we weren't prepared for. So me, Danielle, Ava, and Gabe get in the car. Daddy's getting an award tonight. 4 hours later, from the Upper West Side, we're still online at the Lincoln Tunnel. We turn the car around. We go home. Bernie accepted the award on my behalf. I never made it to the dinner. That was 3 years ago.
The Theodore Atlas Foundation, which is named for Teddy's father, does such great work. They came through like rock stars after Hurricane Sandy, and they helped so many people. So that's so great that you're doing that.
There'll be a fun time. Tracy Morgan, Phil Sims, Tony Danza, a host of athletes. It'll be fun tonight.
And that's if you see our terrific borough president, Jimmy Otto, please give him my best.
Well, he's on his way out, though, right? For Vito Pacella.
He's term limited. And,
right.
Eric Adams is smart. He'll make Jimmy Otto his first deputy mayor, hopefully.
Oh, how about that? On the show today, we're going to talk to Chris Marmondo, my buddy from Gravesend. He actually is a guy that has fired a gun on the set of Gravesend and other movies quite a bit. And he has some insight as to really how disappointing, lazy, and irresponsible Alec Baldwin and that cast was on the set of Rust. Mm. So Chris will be in live at 7:25 this morning. And then 8:40, of course, it's a Thursday, Bill O'Reilly will be here too. So Mamondo and O'Reilly on the Thursday edition of Bernie and Sid.
All right.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Sid, have a great show.
Thank you.
The Rebel Duchess is going back to Hollywood. Meghan Markle is going to be on the Ellen DeGeneres show today. So keep your eye on that. We do have a soundbite, though, don't we? Let's play it.
The key stopped working on the driver's side, so you couldn't get yourself in through the door. So after auditions, I would park at the back of the parking lot, and I would open the trunk and climb in and then pull it shut behind me and crawl over all my seats to get out. That's how I would come to and fro.
I hope it's more interesting than I'm sure it will be. Also, really quick, one of the most iconic films of all time is Grease, but is it about to get canceled?
Oh boy.
We're going to talk about that tomorrow.
All right. Well, stay tuned for the Bernie and Sid show. Chris Mamondo and Bill O'Reilly coming up. And Juliette and I will be back tomorrow. I'll be back at 1 a.m. We're going to keep an eye all day long on this Rittenhouse trial. And we'll bring you breaking news of the verdict or the decision of a mistrial as soon as it occurs. So keep your radio tuned to 77 WABC.
Yeah, and I think the big story for most people in this area is going to be what is happening with the weather. We'll keep an eye on that as well, because it could put a real wrench in your holiday plan.